Back and we kind of got hung up while making our way through it in the introduction. And I want to come back to this. We've been making our way. We've started early this year. I think this is our 9th or 10th message out of the Gospel according to Mark, just making our way verse by verse, studying the life of Christ as penned down, inspired by the Holy Ghost through the hand and the pen of John Mark. And what a story that is to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that I know something about it. Enjoyed my studies and been enjoying trying to preach it to you. Let's stand together and read these opening 12 verses. Very familiar event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard a lot of messages preached from different angles from this. And we're seeking just to deal with it in its absolute context. And see what we can learn from this today. The Bible said in verse number 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? And this is their question now, Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Listen now, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow one more time. Lord, we bow before a God who knows everything about us inside and out, forwards and backwards, the end from the beginning. Lord, for that today, we're thankful that we do not pray to a God that does not know, but Lord, a God that knows and a God who cares. Lord, I pray this morning now as we approach the text and the passages before us, Lord, I'm well aware that, Lord, there are not just broken people out in the world today. Lord, they're not just sinners, Lord, found in the community outside of the four walls of churches this morning, but that, Lord, there are needy people, and, Lord, there are sinner people, and, Lord, there are men and women, and Lord, maybe even young folk today that are in this place that, Lord, need a word from God and need help from the Savior. Lord, I'm glad that you know what each of our needs are and that, Lord, we trust you today to deal with us according to where we stand with you. May the Word of God have, Lord, an impact and may it be powerful in our midst today. Drawing sinners and saints alike, Lord, to your throne, Lord, that needs may be met. At Jesus, Lord, would be magnified today is our prayer. Lord, not that men would see us, but that, Lord, they would see your word, hear your word, and see the Savior, Lord, in great and mighty power. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Quickly, just to catch us up to speed, we said on our last attempt at preaching this text, it Mark 2 and in verse number 1 reveals that continued impact and growth of Christ's ministry as the multitudes continue to seek after Him for the message that He preaches and the miracles that He performs. In chapter number 1, we've seen the Lord's ministry publicly began to take off, and He's not letting any grass grow under His feet. He's busy about the Father's business. And being busy about the Father's business means He must be busy among the people that are around Him. Now His ministry is, I believe, taking full swing. And we find in the beginning of Mark chapter 2 and in verse number 1 that the multitudes are seeking for Him. They're longing for Him. They just want to be in His presence to hear what He's going to say next and to be an eyewitness of what He is going to do next for some needy soul. In Mark chapter number 2, and we'll find even into chapter number 3, reveal that not everyone was excited about the ministry of the Son of God. In fact, in the text we read this morning, we read of scribes who are looking on and milking their chin and scratching their head and looking with a contrary eye to what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing. And we find that they were always going to be around. Christ will have several encounters in chapter 2 and 3 with the scribes and then the Pharisees concerning things that He does and things that He says and teaches. In these text verses of the healing of this palsied man, there is an issue that is at hand that is raised from these scribes, these onlookers, these contrary ones that raise the question of what Jesus both done and said in this text. The ultimate issue surrounds the subject of the forgiveness of sins that Christ extended to this man and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." It set off a debate in their minds and set off some thoughts within their hearts that my friend did not understand exactly what was taking place. In fact, the question, amen, when Christ declares the forgiveness of sins upon this palsied man, it sparked the question from the scribes, verse number 7, who can forgive sins but God only? May I say the scribes had a legitimate question. And the implication or the intention of that question being raised was simply this, that only God can forgive sins. And to that I would say their doctrine indeed was right. For only God can justify a man. A man cannot forgive himself, no matter what the New Age philosophies of thinking say and run around about self-forgiveness. Amen. We cannot, my friend, justify another man in his sins. But, amen, I want to say and go on record today, there is one and there is one God, amen, who can forgive sins. And He alone can do that. When we think about sin and we think about forgiveness, you remember we said a couple of weeks ago that sin is man's greatest problem. Believe that today, that sin is man's greatest problem. Man has no greater problem, amen, than that of sin. Amen. COVID is not man's greatest problem. And world war and famine and earthquakes and pestilence and the things that are going on in our very world in which we live is not man's greatest problem. Sin is man's greatest problem. And may we say in light of that, forgiveness is man's greatest need. If sin is his greatest problem, then, amen, to obtain forgiveness for his sins, and all that comes along with that by the grace of God, amen, would be man's greatest need. In our text, this palsied man and the Savior and the whole entire situation and conditions that we have read about this morning,
we would say that this man was a sick man. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 3 that, amen, he was once sick of the palsy. And so this man, everybody seen him as a sick man. And Brother Joe, they would say this man's greatest need is for his sickness to be cured. And yet Jesus saw him as more than a sick man. The Savior saw him as a sinner man. Amen. He seen beyond what the physical eye could see. Amen. He seen beyond the palsy and seen the pollution that was in his heart. Amen. The crowd could only see the external need of the cripple. But Christ seen his spiritual condition. And Christ goes right to the heart of the matter when this man, amen, is presented to the feet of the Savior and is there in his very presence. Christ, amen, seeing him not just as a sick man, but a sinner man, amen, who had the greatest need and greatest problem that a man could have, and seeing that he had the greatest need that a man could be in want of, that of forgiveness, and said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And I won't go into all of this. It's kind of where we bog down. But, amen, sin is a problem for every individual. Amen, we were conceived in sin. We, amen, my friend, are born with a sin and a fleshly and an Adamic nature. And my friend, when we are born, runs us as far and as fast from God as a man and a woman, a young person can possibly get. Amen. And in those sins areas, the wages of sin, and that is death, there is a price to be paid. And my friend, there is, amen, in sin today, a great and a mighty, amen, issue in men's hearts. Amen. But I'm glad there is forgiveness in the grace of God. Amen. Jesus is teaching you and I that. Amen. Their question, who can forgive sins but God only? Amen. Of course, Christ is going to say, I want you to know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. What a declaration of his own deity. What a declaration of the fact that he is, in fact, amen, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, God in the flesh. Amen, he can forgive sin, for he is God. And so when Christ declares the forgiveness of sins for this man, it demanded an answer to the question, who can forgive sin but God only? Amen, and what a question that is. Amen, what a question that is. Amen. You don't find forgiveness at, amen, kissing the ring of the Pope. You don't find forgiveness, amen, confessing your sin to a man in a booth somewhere. Amen. You won't find the forgiveness that you need at, and that your soul ultimately longs for. Amen. And just going to some man that is a sinner like you are. Amen. But I'm glad if you never make in the presence of the Lord, amen, you'll find that he is an adequate forgiver of sin. And when this event is done in the text, it is absolutely evident. Christ without apology. Amen. Christ without batting an eye. Christ, my friend, without you having to scratch your head and wonder what in the world is he saying. Amen. Plainly declares, amen, the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. Amen. And I'm glad that I've met the one who can forgive. Amen. Who has forgiven me of my sin and saved my sorry, rotten, wretched, dreadful, polluted, amen, sin-cursed soul. Amen. I'm glad I can testify. Amen. He indeed has power on earth to forgive sins. And so we're dealing with the thought, the Savior's power to pardon sin. What a thought today that sinners can be forgiven. Amen. Amen. There are some here today, and you're either, amen, you're in one of three groups today. Amen. There are those in our society who would stand and boldly declare foolishly, I would add, amen, that they have nothing in need of forgiveness about. And there are those that are that way in our society. They do not acknowledge their sin. They do not acknowledge their drifting from God. Amen. They do not acknowledge their matters of offenses between them and the Lord. And then there's likely others that are here today in another crowd that would say, you know what, I do acknowledge I have sins and I have offended God, but I've gone too far. And there will be surely no forgiveness for me in light of what I've done and where I've been and what I have become. And there are those in our society and maybe in our presence today that would say there is no hope for me to ever find forgiveness. Amen. And yet there is a third crowd that will testify to the other two. Amen. I am a sinner and I am wretched and I am undone. Amen. But I have found that He's faithful to forgive. Amen. It matters not how far you've gone. It matters not today. Amen. Where you are in this moment, He knows it all. Amen. If this text teaches us anything, amen, Jesus knew where this man had been. Amen. Jesus knew when this man had died. Amen. Jesus knew what this man was. Amen. And Jesus forgave him anyway. Amen. If the four that took him there that day had known all that was in his heart, amen, they may have left him on a highway side somewhere. Amen. They may have given up on him. They, amen, may have said it ain't even worth fooling with you. Amen. Had that crowd known that day what that man really was, amen, they may have got upset that the roof had been torn off and said, amen, why are we ripping the roof off for somebody like that? Amen, but I'm telling you, Jesus knew what He was and who He was. Jesus knew everything about it and seen what others could not see. And this man found that Jesus had power to pardon his sin. Amen. And so let me work our way through the text. I noted six things. I really only preached maybe two or three of them. Amen. This morning I give you all six or seven, however many we have. Amen. But just truths in this text in connection to the Savior's power to pardon sin. I would draw your attention first off to verse 1 and 2, where I'll call this the communication about the forgiveness of sins. It's interesting to me that as Christ comes into Capernaum and He makes His way into this house, I personally believe that, amen, it's very likely Peter's house again as He went there in chapter number 1 and healed Peter's mother-in-law in a great crowd. It seems to be, amen, a place that Christ is comfortable, amen, visiting and working and preaching. And what we find here is that Christ's presence among the many here that are gathered in this house. The Bible plainly said in the verse, in the verse number 2, and He preached the word unto them. Amen. He preached the word unto them. Amen. He made a sanctuary out of this hole. Amen. He made a pulpit, my friend, there in this very residence. And Christ's presence among the many gathered was, just another opportunity in the heart of the Son of God. And He might preach the word to them. Amen. Our Savior in His public life and ministry was a preacher. Amen. He took every opportunity He could, amen, to preach the word, be it one-on-one or great large crowds. Amen. He preached the word unto them. Amen. And He preached the word in this city. Amen. He preached the word. No doubt the message was the same, amen, as it had been in chapter number 1 and in verse number 14 and 15. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee. And the Bible said, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. And saying, a time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so in the matter of the message that he preached was both. Amen. The same as we preach today, repentance and faith. Amen. You preach repentance to tell people they are sinners and they have gone away. There are things and offenses between them and God. Amen. And call them, that friend, to turn to God and by His grace find forgiveness for those sins. Amen. I believe Jesus preached in preaching repentance and faith. Amen. In preaching the Word was preaching the message. Amen. He was involved in, my friend, leading men to get right with God. And men will never be right with God until they're forgiven of their sin. Amen. The need of forgiveness was known through preaching. Amen. You will never convince me. I know he's doing miracles. I'm sure he was performing some great and mighty things in this place. Amen. He already had again in the previous chapter. Amen. But I'm telling you, every miracle he performed was accompanied. Amen. With that age-old message. Amen. Though your sins have separated you from your God. Amen. There is hope of forgiveness. Amen. If you'll believe and turn to God, He is a faithful forgiver of those sins. Amen. You remember, my friend, when you was in sin, to you that are saved, remember, amen, what your life used to be like. You remember, my friend, how sin had robbed and wrecked and ruined you. And my friend, all the weight of that sin was so heavy upon your life. Amen. You knew what you were. You knew what you had died. Amen. You knew what you had become in this wretch. Amen. When the old authors, the old writers, the old, amen, when the old saints of God, when the old men of God, amen, said man may have been made, amen, a little lower than the angels. Amen. But sin made him little better than devils, said. Amen. But do you remember when you got around some preaching? Amen. You remember when somebody got around you and they began, my friend, to give you the Word of God and show you what you were and show you the remedy for your sin? Amen. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying thank God today. Amen. For one, the very thing I'm called to do and privileged to do today. Amen. To take the Word of God and preach and let men know. Amen. You may be a sinner and you may have gone a long way. Amen. But to offer that same crowd forgiveness of sin. Yeah. Amen. And point them to the darling Son of God who alone had power on earth to forgive their very sin. Yeah. Amen. You remember when you heard it for the very first time? Amen. I'm not talking about the audible sound of preaching. Amen. But my friend, when the Holy Ghost made it real. Amen. When the Word of God for the first time began to be clear in your heart. Amen. You for the first time began to see yourself for who you are and see Him for who He was. Amen. And by repentance and faith, turn your heart to Him. Amen. Thank God for men. And God raises up and through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. God has chosen to bring salvation to this world. Amen. He didn't choose, amen, the puppet shows. Amen. He didn't choose concerts. Amen. He didn't choose, my friend, social gatherings. Amen. Oh, listen to me. The Lord chose. Amen. Brother Mike, he chose preaching. Amen. It's preaching that, my friend, will shake a man. Amen. It's preaching that will get into a woman's heart. Amen. Somebody told me the other day. Amen. They said about our services here. Amen. When you go down there to Calvary, amen, you'll feel the Holy Ghost begin to move. Amen. And the Word of God, as it's preached, will, amen, begin to stir. And I know we don't have many sinners saved in this day. Amen. But I'm glad folk can walk in it. Amen. They can go, you know what? They something different. Amen. They ain't just trying to entertain. Amen. They ain't trying to appeal to the flesh. They're not trying to. Amen. Work work something out. Amen. We ain't got any of that. I don't have the personality to do that. Amen. I'm a stick in the mud. Amen. I ain't learned how to do this. All I know to do, amen, is open up the Word and do what Jesus did. Amen. And rear back and let her flee. Amen. And let people know, amen, that there is hope in the Savior to find forgiveness of sin. You may feel like, amen, I feel like my job is twofold. Amen, to reach out to that crowd, Brother Mike, that thinks they don't need forgiveness and show them you do need forgiveness. Amen, you're in worse shape than you even know. And without forgiveness of sin, you'll bust hell wide open. Amen, and I'm reaching out to another crowd of our generation that thinks they cannot be forgiven. And Mary, try to tell them there's a Savior that loves you and gave His life for you. Amen, if that ever settles in on either crowd, amen, it'll settle in them by preaching of the Word of God. Amen. The communication about the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Number two, let me say a word about the cooperation in the forgiveness of sins. Amen. It is true that Christ and God only have the power to forgive sins. But may I say in this text, we do not know their names. But without the four, now listen, I'm going to call them something. But Joe, without the four corner holders, this man would not have known the forgiveness of sins. You take these four men, each on the corner of this man's bed. My friend, you leave them out of this text. And this man's still somewhere in town, unable to get, amen, to the Savior, unable, amen, to make his way there. Amen, I call it the cooperation in the forgiveness of sins. Amen, listen to this statement. Listen now, listen to me. Amen, people bring people to the Savior. People bring people to the Savior. There is a crowd that, amen, there is a crowd that runs in a theological vein of thinking that simply says, well, whatever will be if it's been determined by God that so-and-so is saying that, amen, it will happen. And my friend, I want to say rubbish today. Amen, rubbish today. There is only one Savior in glory. And my friend, we have the amazing and the awesome, amen, privilege and responsibility to work in cooperation with Him that sinners might find forgiveness of their sins. People bring people to the Savior. Amen. Listen to this. Because four men cared, one man was cured. And I say that again, because there was four men that cared, there was one man that was cured. I wonder today how much we really care for sinners. And I know it gets quiet here and you just have to get quiet. Amen. We're living in one of the most selfish generations of Christianity as has ever been. Amen. We say we care. We say, well, I'm praying. That means I care. Amen. And that ain't the evidence you care. Amen. These boys, I'm sure, spent time praying, but amen, there come a day they had to grab their corner. Amen. There came a day they had to carry the load. Amen. There came the day they, amen, they had to get busy in this matter that Christ was passing by. And Brother Jerry, because four men really, really cared, one man was cured. And I say, I'm glad that some cared enough about me, amen, to keep on the preaching. I'm glad that there's some that cared enough about you to, amen, invite you, Brother A.L., one more time. Amen, I'm glad somebody cared for you, amen, enough. They gave you one more gospel track. Amen, aren't you glad some, listen, amen, most of us that are gathered here today, amen, we are forgiven of our sin, we are saved because somebody cared about us. God help us at those, amen, that have had forgiveness and know the pardoning power of the Savior, amen, that my friend we would care about, amen, helping somebody else find the same cure. Amen. The cooperation. Amen. They got under the burden. No matter the cost, pain, or trouble, I like this, they would not stop until the job was done. Amen. Amen. Can I say today, amen, the job, my friend, is still, amen, the job today is still undone. Amen, there's still the work to do. Jesus said, amen, we must work the works, my friend, of he that sent us while it is day. Or the day or the night is coming in which no man, amen, can work. And so, amen, in these last days there is a need. There is the matter that is at hand. And there would be a revival in the church. There would be a revival in the heart of us as children of God to realize, amen, if Newport is going to be forgiven, if those families that are dripping in sin, amen, if those that, my friend, are in there, in our own circles, amen, where we work, and our own family members said, and my friend within a stone's throw, amen, of the shadow, the steeple of our church, amen, if they're going to be forgiven, somebody's going to have to cooperate with God.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know that ain't popular, but it's right. Number three, the constraint against the forgiveness of sins in this text. It's amazing to me that the Bible said in verse number three, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. Verse four, and when they could not come nigh unto him. Is that not perplexing to your mind? Here is a man that is sick. Here is a man that is in need, and I'm sure that there are others that have needs as well, Brother Tim. But Jack, I'm sure there's more in that crowd. But is it not perplexing that this crowd, nobody was willing to move out of the way and let this man find his way to the Savior? I call it this constraint against the forgiveness of sin. The matter of this man finding forgiveness was not easy. May I say, when it comes to the saving of the souls of men, amen, this is hard work. Amen, it is not easy. I know God's plan of salvation is simple. I know that, my friend, that, amen, in the eyes of the world, it is foolishness because, amen, it is such a simplistic message. Amen, but mark it down, it is not easy. Jesus said, amen, over and over about different groups of people finding eternal life. Amen, that it was indeed a hard thing. It was a hard thing, which means that there are many obstacles, there are many things that stand in the way in this text. There are at least three obstacles. I see the crowd. I see the climb from they got to get up on the roof. And then there is the clay, speaking of the clay tiles upon the roof. It must be moved out of the way. It seems like the more intent and the forearm to get him to Christ, the harder, amen, the more obstacles that they face along the way. And I say in picture and in type, I see that, my friend, when it comes, amen, to the sinner getting to the Savior for pardon, amen, that there are many constraints, and there are many, my friend, there are many obstacles, there are many blockades, there are many hindrances, amen, that are there along the way, amen, but it'll be a good day in your life, amen. Let me just say it this way, and I got to move on, amen. The Bible said in verse number 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, amen, Brother Larry wrote it down this way. Amen. Faith made a way past all that constrained them. Amen. Can I say it'll be faith? Amen. Oh, I love what Brother Tim said this morning. And when God put him under conviction and God showed him that he was a sinner. Amen. When he really, really, my friend, understood for the first time. Amen. Brother Tim said something to the effect. Amen. That in that moment of time where he was ready to be saved, and there was nothing that could hold him back. Amen. There was nothing that my friend could stand in his way. And I say I can testify the same thing. Amen. When I realized I was a sinner in need of forgiveness, and I realized that wasn't going to come through daddy, and that wasn't going to come through mama, that wasn't going to come through my pedigree, that wasn't going to come from being in a Baptist church, that my friend, only Jesus could do that. And friend, you could have took the whole of the Russian army and every AK-47 they owned. Amen. With every round of ammunition loaded in it. Amen. You could have turned their tanks directly on me. They could have punched in the coordinates on that very person. And my friend, the entire Russian army, amen, could not have stopped me that day. Amen. From calling out to the Savior and saying, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." Amen. Faith, I love this. Faith makes a way past all of the obstacles. Jesus saw their faith. Amen. Their faith, not just the faith of the four. No doubt their faith is involved. But my friend, he's seen the palsied man's faith. Amen. Oh, God, help us today. Sinner friend, don't. Amen. Don't allow the blockades. Don't allow the roadblocks. Amen. That Satan has devised. Amen. Don't let the obstacles of religion. Don't let the hindrances of a self-righteous life. Amen. Keep you from acknowledging. Amen. Your need of forgiveness of sin. Amen. If you'll just have faith. Amen. If you will believe what the Word of God, amen, has said about you, and you believe what the Word of God has said about Him, and turn to Him and Him alone, and God, you'll know His power to pardon sin. Amen. Ain't nothing, there ain't no obstacle in this world worth going to hell over. Amen. They ain't a friendship. There ain't a relationship. Amen. They ain't one of the crowd. They's not a crowd. Amen. Some will go to hell today for fame and popularity, worried about what everybody's going to think about them. Amen. Some, my friend, will go to hell today. Amen. Because all they can see is the cloud. Amen. All they can see is the cloud. Amen. Others today are going to go to hell for the clay. Amen. You know what that clay speaks of? Amen. That's the ground we came out of. Amen. It speaks of the fleshly nature of man. And all his ambition and all of his desire. I didn't mean to preach all this, Brother Mike. Amen. I feel like God's a plugging me in right now, and I need this and you need this. Amen. Hey, don't go to hell because of your own fleshly desires. The flesh, oh, what an obstacle the flesh is to the sinner coming to the Savior. Oh, I've seen folk, my friend, because, amen, I'm thinking of a man right now, amen, who lived literally, amen, less than 50 yards from the first church that I pastored, and his name was Chris. We'd go down and we would witness to Chris, and we'd give him the gospel, and we'd preach to him in his living room. I've seen Chris have tears running down his eyes, amen, and say, "Preacher, I know that you're right. Preacher, I know that I need to be saved. Preacher, I know that what you say is right." He'd look at me and Brother Rodney, he would say, "I just know that I drink beer and I'm a shacking. I ain't ready to give all that up yet." Now I know what some of these liars run around and say, "Well, you ain't got to give all that up to be saved." Bunch of liars running around, amen, all over in these, amen, in these revival meetings and these big community-wide things. We're not asking you to give up any sin. We're not asking you, amen, to change your life. Amen. We're just asking you to believe. Amen. I ain't preaching work salvation. Repentance is a gift from God. You couldn't change you if you wanted to. Buddy, when you come to the Savior, there is a yieldingness in a sinner's heart. Amen. That says you better believe. Amen. Brother Tim said it this morning. If God asked him to shave his head and climb the Empire State Building, he'd have been ready to do it. Amen. And when a sinner gets saved, his heart is broke. His will is broke. Amen. And when he comes in that spirit, amen, that gift that comes by the Spirit, that gift of faith, that gift of repentance, amen, works in his life. Amen. He'll know. He'll know. If I come to him for forgiveness of sin, this is done. Amen. That's the problem. Hey, man, I've got to hurry. I got to quit. I'm going to have you out by 12. I think it's raining. You don't want to leave right now? No way. I'll preach till the rain stops. How about that? Amen. And I say today, amen, repentance and the gift that it is to the sinner is a mighty, mighty important thing. I'm glad he granted me repentance. I'm glad that he worked in my life. Amen. I'm glad that he worked in my life. That matter, the rich young ruler, when he came to Christ and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And if you don't understand the scripture, there's been all sorts of things people have brought up about that. Amen. And said that Christ was teaching he had to go sell everything that he had and give it to the poor. Amen. Christ could care less about his money. Christ was not interested, amen, in the act of what he could do for the poor. Christ was putting his finger on a very specific sin in that man's life.
Yes, sir.
It was the love of money.
Right.
Amen. Can I say that message still has to be preached to rich people in this day?
Right.
If you're going to love your riches, And the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Are y'all understanding? Amen. And Jesus was saying, you've come asking a wonderful question. And until you're ready to deal with this sin in your life, you're never going to know forgiveness of sin and eternal life. That's why we say, if you have knowledge as a sinner that what you are doing is sin, and you try to come for forgiveness of sin saying, I'm going to hang on to this. Amen. That becomes a hindrance to you receiving the salvation. It only comes by the grace of God.
Amen.
So that ain't how they preach it down the road. I could care less. I'm telling you, we better get back to preaching this book. We're making twofold the children of hell. Twofold the children of hell. And my friend are coming down saying little measly prayers and making little weak, watered down professions. It does not break the sin in their life. What we're preaching about is not a forgiveness, amen, that is a fire insurance. You're not offering, amen, something to make you feel good and feel religious. Oh no, we're dealing with the eternal matters, the matters of sin in the human life. A man must be forgiven of that sin. Constraints, there's so many obstacles today. I've watched them. I've watched young ladies. Thinking of a young lady right now. Preached to her when she was just a youngin' growing up. I've watched that youngin' get in services and in atmospheres. God really, really moved in mighty ways. And seen that little girl raise her hand and say, pray for me, I'm lost. Pray for me, I'm lost. Pray for me, I'm lost. And I watched her go from 6 and 7 years old. Amen. I watched her come to 10 and 11 years old. And that hand began to not go up anymore. She began to lose concern and a hardness began to settle in. To this day, you know that young lady still lost, knows she's lost, and has no spirit. I'm talking about a sweet youngin' now. Has no spiritual desire in her whatsoever
about making things right with God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what happened? She allowed the obstacles to stay in the way. She wasn't willing to go through the crowd, go beyond the crowd. She wasn't willing, my friend, for the climb. She wasn't willing, amen, to get the clay out of the way. Amen, but may I say, amen, I'm glad for the day when faith made a way in my life. Amen, I quit caring what everybody thought. Amen, I realized what I was, didn't want to be that anymore, and found that Jesus has the power to pardon sin and change lives. Amen. Number four, amen, I think the rain just stopped. That kind of backfired on me, didn't it? Amen. The compassion and the forgiveness of sins. Let me preach this for a minute now. I'll just throw the last two out. I won't even preach them. The compassion. I love this, Gerald. He said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy. Now, as far as we know, this is their first encounter. As far as we know, Brother Jeremy, this is the first time the palsy man has been in the presence of the Lord. What's the compassion now? Don't miss it, sissy, don't miss it. Jesus saith unto the man of palsy, son. Son. Notice here the tender germ of endearment toward this man who was a sinner. Small term, a small word, a small title by which could be addressed, and yet it must have felt like honey to the palsy man's soul. Yet, Brother Joe, it must have felt like something, fireworks going off when from the lips of the Son of God, he heard, son, amen. You see, in our sin, we are enemies. In our sin, we are working against God. In our sin, you say, I'm not that bad a person. In your sin, you are an enmity with God. In your sin, in your friendship with the world and the flesh, amen, you are an enemy. You are an alien and a stranger from God. And I'll never forget the first moment of time where I really was in His presence, laying there hopeless, laying there lifeless, laying there without any way of getting up on my own. Oh, what a blessed, blessed term of endearment I heard in that moment of time. Son.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'm glad He looks at me as I'm His son. I'm not an enemy anymore. I'm not a stranger anymore. Amen. Thank God for the day and the hope pen. I realized that the servants in the Father's house had it better than I had living out yonder. Y'all listening? Amen. What sin had made me, what I'd sold myself out to be. Amen. The path that I was on it. Amen. What a day it was when I said to myself, I will arise and go to the Father and say, amen, against heaven and in have I sinned, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called in thy sight. Amen. But I'm glad. Oh, I'm glad I found that the Savior fell on my neck and kissed me with many kisses and said, son, amen. Oh, my friend, in that moment of time, I'd have been happy to be a servant. I'd have been happy, my friend, to live out, amen, some sort of spiritual life. Amen, on the other side of tracks of glory. Amen, in a little shanty or a little shack. Amen, I'd have been fine to have been a servant around the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen, I'd have been happy.
Amen. To be the one who cleaned the stalls out. Amen. All the dung the horses leave behind in glory stables. And I'm glad he said, you're not going to be a servant. You're not a servant to me. Amen. You're not a servant. Amen. What a blessed. Amen. Conveyance of compassion and love.
Amen.
Son.
Hey.
Say you ain't much today. I want to tell you one thing. He's more to me than you can see. What you can see, I won't argue with. It's wretched, low down, and it's sorry, and it ought to be stomped in the mud. But there's more to me than you can see. I am his son. Amen. And some of you women, you are his daughters. We are sons and we are daughters of God. How did that happen? When did that happen? Explain that. All I can say is in that moment of time, I realized my greatest problem. And I acknowledge and ask for my greatest need to be met by the only one who could. And in that moment, he reached down, plucked me out of one family, and put me in his own.
That's right.
And it ain't no small matter, Brother Jack. Amen. Amen. There's three ways in the family of God. Two of them deal with sonship. One of the three ways is you can be wedded in. Amen. A bride.
Right.
Amen. But the other two ways deal with sonship. You can be birthed in and you can be adopted in.
That's right.
And I say today, amen, Jesus, oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, something just happened. Something just went off. A connection was just made I ain't ever made before, I ain't ever heard nobody else make. Here's what Jesus said the Pharisees about converting somebody to religion. He said, you make them a twofold child of hell. You know what Jesus does? He makes us twofold children of God. Hallelujah. I'm born in and I'm adopted in. You can have your religion. You can have your religion. Amen. You, my friend, can have all of that. Amen. Give me Jesus. I'm glad. Amen. I don't say it in a proud way. I don't say it in an arrogant way. I don't say it, my friend, to believe that I'm in anything. Amen. But I boldly dare to proclaim that through Jesus Christ and Him alone, I know the forgiveness of sin.
Yes,
amen. My sins are gone. They're forgiven. My life and eternity is forever changed because I have now been called son. Twofold child of God. Amen. Ain't you glad the Savior has pardon, power to pardon sin? We've seen the communication, cooperation, the constraint, the compassion. Verses 6 through 11, these are the critics of the forgiveness of sins. There's always critics around. They're always around. And you just got to make up your mind and understand whatever Jesus did for you, can't nobody take that away.
Amen.
Can't nobody take that away. Amen. You imagine this old boy hearing that conversation there for maybe a split moment of time, thought, uh-oh, maybe I ain't got what I got. But you know what, Brother Jack? He didn't have to defend himself. Jesus did all the defending. Jesus did all the talking to the critics. That old boy just had to lay there and go, boy, it sure does feel good to be a son.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. A lot I could say about that. The captivation over the forgiveness of sin. When all was said and done, the Bible said they were amazed. They were amazed. And they said one to another, you ever seen it on this fashion?
I ain't never seen it on this fashion. That's what I was thinking. I've been scratching my head, and you know all them services and revival meetings we've had down there at the synagogue. I ain't ever seen it happen like this before. Ain't it captivating to see not only what God has done in our life, but what He does in the lives of others? I never cease to be amazed at what Jesus can do in forgiving people of their sin. Somebody said the only thing better than being forgiven yourself is being an eyewitness to somebody else being forgiven. It's amazing. You know what I see here today? Amen. And I know a lot of pastors and preachers, they talk about the ministry and people, and these days I feel that way. Amen. It creeps up. But amen. Somebody told me, me and Sam was talking to a feller down the road here, and got to witnessing to him a little bit. And he said, you know, I used to live pretty straight on the straight and there. I know I've drifted away. And he said, I say some cuss words and things I shouldn't say. He talked about some other things. And he got talking about his bosses. He said, now our bosses, they're Christian people. He said, I ain't never heard them cuss. He said, and I'm sure they want to cuss us sometimes. That's what he said. He said, I'm sure they want to cuss us sometimes. He said, I've never heard them cuss. I said, look here, man. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I want to cuss people sometimes. He looked at me, Brother Tim, without batting an eye. He said, oh, y'all do. Y'all just use different words. I said, you ain't supposed to know that. People aggravate you sometimes. But you know what I see this morning looking around? Is testimonies of amazement.
Yes, sir.
I've heard your testimony, and it captivates me to know Jesus did that for you.
Amen.
I've heard Jack Garrett give his testimony, talk about what Jesus did for him and Ella, saving them and keeping their home together. That blesses me, Brother Jack.
Yes, sir.
Captivates me. It don't make me amazed with Jack and Ella. It makes me amazed with him.
Amen.
Heard Brother Larry talk about what he used to be. How the Lord reached down and saved him and changed his life. Brother Larry, that blesses me. I thank a lot of you, but I don't give you glory for that. I glorify Him for that.
Amen.
It's all about His glory.
Amen.
We go around one by one and people could stand. And you would see them today, and what they'd be talking about, maybe what they used to be, would be such a contrasting difference.
Right.
You have to go, well, you say you that, but see, I ain't always been a preacher. I ain't always loved God and His Word and wanted to live right. At the time, it was completely different. So we give God the glory and are captivated with what He's able to do. Amen.